A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rich Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy, episode 201.
Nice.
It feels like it's been a really, really busy last 8 days since we last did the podcast.
You know why it feels like that?
Because it has been.
Correct.
I've played 136 holes of golf in that time frame. And I made two pars.
Well done. You had a two-par run as well. And you kept your ball for three holes in a row.
No, in all seriousness today, we need to cover some important matters of me out on the golf course. And I don't want to, this might be tempting fate, okay? I might be playing in the next Ryder Cup.
Wow.
2025.
Wow.
My game is trending so positively at the moment. I think it's only a matter of time. I'm surprised I've not been drafted in last minute for this.
We'll make you a deal. I don't disagree. Let's skip 2025. Why don't you go for 2027 at Ayr Manor? A bit more local.
Just give me a bit more time.
A bit more time, a bit more local, a few more of our UK listeners are going to be like short journey over.
I like that. Game is trending. We'll come on to that quite a lot. But I'm kind of getting some weird feelings at the moment, Guy.
Talk to me.
Some weird feelings. It feels like the last kind of, I don't know, week Ryder Cup heat fever has crash landed in the world of golf.
Rick, you are not wrong. And I don't like to do this, but every now and again, I will tell somebody straight, may I add. And in our Facebook group that has now nearly got 100,000 insane members, lovely people.
Insane.
Insane in the sense that they love the golf. They love a bit of Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. They want to chat, they want to get to know people, the nice people, I would say, in that group. But every now and again, you get a bit of a
numpty,
a bit of a know-it-all. Now, I'm not saying this person is a numpty or a know-it-all. I'm sure this person is very, very nice. But this person this morning left a message on our group saying, "You guys missed a trick not releasing a pod on the Ryder Cup picks. I'd rather listen to that than an interview with a YouTube personality."
Ouch.
So their post got 49 likes, so many of which were laughing emojis. I don't want to brag, but I commented back with 216 likes on my comments. I think I've won that fight, that war.
Ratioed, as the kids say.
Correct. But my comment back, the reason I'm making this point is, next week, the Tuesday of the Ryder Cup, we have got an absolute banger Ryder Cup special podcast. Tell people why it is so special, Rick.
We've managed to get hold of Dave Sampson, who is the course architect from Marco Simone.
Wow.
We've got the guy whose vision, ideas, layout of the golf course, it's his baby. We have got him on the podcast next week. And you know why we're so excited? We've already pre-filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait for it to come out. I want to listen to it again. It was that good.
You know what? I think sometimes golf course architecture is the kind of topic that some golf fans will be like, yep, can't wait for that. And some people might be like, might miss that one, I'm not too bothered. Let me assure those potential doubters, not only is Dave an articulate and witty and cool guy, the actual conversation, if I say so myself, was very insightful, very fun. And it you learn a lot, and we talked so much about the Ryder Cup kind of holistically as well. And next week is our Ryder Cup special. Do not miss it.
I also do feel like we did talk about the picks.
I think we did. I think we have in bits and bobs, yeah.
But anyway, it feels like Ryder Cup fever is hitting. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
And you might want to reserve your judgment.
Yes.
Okay? You have several times, in fact, maybe even double digits
yep.
time, you've sat here in public, okay, yep. on a microphone and spoke to our wonderful audience. And you've admitted a couple of things, all right? You've admitted you're not the biggest fan of the Ryder Cup.
Correct.
Does anything change at the moment? I feel like there's a turn in the tides for you at the moment.
Yes. Let me just, for those people who have not listened, this, definitely some of the earlier podcasts, I was quite provocative in my approach to the Ryder Cup. I said it was overrated.
Provocative, I like that word.
Hear me out. This is nothing to do with politics. I feel like when I talk about Europe, sometimes people think, oh, you want to be out of the EU and all that nonsense. Nothing to do with that. I find it hard. So if England are playing football or soccer to our American listeners against Brazil, okay?
I was just thinking of Guy Farage over there.
Yeah. I want England to beat Brazil in a football match. There's no questions asked. Of course I do. I'm English, British, right? When it's Europe versus America, obviously within that, there's English players. You're Tommy's, you're Tyrrell's, loads, etc. Justin Rose, Matt Fitzpatrick. I will keep going on. But do you feel European as such? Is there ever a time where you would clash yourself or introduce yourself as, hi, I'm Rick, I'm European? Maybe not.
No, it's not our first choice of identification.
Correct. So I always feel like if I was American, I would be much more behind the Ryder Cup because you are supporting your country. That's the first thing. I think the second thing with golf as well is, and it's not so much the case now, but I grew up, like you and many of our listeners, viewers, as a massive Tiger Woods fan, okay? A huge Tiger Woods fan. He's the reason I love the game so much. I idolised him growing up. I would want Tiger Woods to beat anybody on the Europe team every week of the year, whether it be the Masters, the Open, the US Open, whatever it looks like. I want Tiger to beat whoever. Now, I found it hard as a youngster to then, on this one week of the year, change that to wanting Tiger to lose, okay? It's like a football team where I support Liverpool week in, week out, apart from the losing. It found that difficult.
I know. I think the only way I'd compare that to it is almost like if your favourite player from Liverpool is...
I'll go with Andy Robertson.
Who is Scottish. And England were playing Scotland. But your favourite player, like, how do you want his performance to be in that match?
Yeah.
You still want England to win.
Correct.
You might want Andy Robertson to score or whatever because he's your favourite player, but you still want England to win. And yeah. I think that's possibly where I think in golf, a lot of my favourite players are American. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of favourite players, as they are European. You're right, though. It's definitely different being from Europe, and I'm sure our American fans won't quite appreciate this, but when you are from Europe and you're supporting the European team, you're right, it's not our first identification. Mm. Like, we're not, and certainly with all the bloody Brexit and all that jazz, we're all a bit confused about where we are in the world these days. But for me, it's more the fact of we know what side of the fence we're on. Mm-hmm. We know we're on the supporting the blue team. We know we're going to absolutely smash the red team. Mm. I'm in blue, you're in red today. I'm not sure what that's telling us. But I feel like for us, you know, we have got, out of those 12 Ryder Cup players, I think four of them are English, which is pretty solid, really, mm-hmm. isn't it? Mm. And you've obviously got Northern Irish with Roaring, Ireland with Shane Lowry and et cetera, different countries around Europe. I honestly feel like I'm frothing at the mouth at the moment with the prospects of the Ryder Cup, and I'm not sure why this year more than ever.
I would agree. I am this year so much more up for it. I think partly because we've been to Marco Simone and played it, which we'll come on to in a moment.
I think that's a big thing because I'd never played a Ryder Cup course before a Ryder Cup.
Yeah, me too. And this year we have. We'll come on to that in a moment. That's a big thing. I think secondly, I think there's been a real change in the guard this year. You know, obviously you guys like your Westwoods, your Molinaris, obviously Poulter have all kind of stepped aside. And we've now got some of this young blood in Åberg or Åberg, as he's actually, I think, pronounced officially, Ludvig. You know, we've obviously got the rise of Victor. He's absolutely dominating. Rory, Rahm. You look at the team, it's exciting. We've got a bit of experience in Rose, etc. But what I would say, and again, this is probably going to get some hate. I get this. As a spectator who's not going, you are going. We'll come on to that again in a moment. I would honestly, I'd rather Europe lose, but it be an amazing Ryder Cup down to the wire, than Europe to dominate. because I want to watch something for 3 days and be excited by it.
I think,
I can't see it being dominated one way or the other either.
I don't, but I also think the format always allows for the final day to be exciting.
Exactly, you're right.
Regardless of whether the USA have gone out and won the first 2 days convincingly, that those 12 matches in the afternoon on Sunday, everything is still to play for on those 12 rounds, completely. Which is great.
But, however, just completely going against my last previous kind of discussion points, though, is actually this year is a year where I would actually say I am a bigger fan of the European players anyway.
Actual players.
Correct, than the Americans. So if I look in through the list now, Ludwig, I'm very excited. I don't think I know him yet on that like personal level, so to speak. But I'm huge admiration of the talent he's got. He very nearly won at Wentworth. He had obviously a bad last day. He won the week before.
That was his first glimpse of his rookiness.
Yeah, potentially.
Really? You know, he's come on the scene and really hit everybody by surprise. Since was it June he turned pro?
Turned pro in June, I think.
Ridiculous. Now he's on the Ryder Cup team. If he would have gone out and dominated that final round at BMW Wentworth, mm-hmm. which would have been ridiculous, he would have really put his stamp down and gone, wow, I'm here.
You're right. I think that was upsetting for him to kind of fall away. I think one of the things I did hear on another podcast, though, was that I wouldn't even say that was like necessarily pressure, because the first 2 days, I think he was paired up with Rory and Victor and he went out and shot ridiculous scores. But I don't think it was necessarily the moment was too big for him. I think he just literally had a bad day in the office. But, you know, then look at Fitzpatrick. I'm actually a fan of Matt Fitzpatrick. I think I admire his game, love how he's gained distance. I think I quite like his personality in the Netflix show. He came across well. Tommy goes out saying, massive fan of Tommy. Victor, huge fan of. I must admit, I was never a huge Shane Lowry fan either way. I thought when you interviewed him at the Open, he came across really well.
Yeah,
and he gained a fan from me. I do like Rory. I like John Rahm. I like Justin Rose.
So many.
And even McIntyre, I think the underdog.
Yeah, I think the only ones I've not connected with really yet are Straka.
Who's basically American, really.
Yeah, Hogard, and also Aberg, who obviously I don't feel like I know much about. But I've met Fitzpatrick, I met Tommy, I've played with Tommy, played with Tyrrell, played with Shane, not played with Victor yet, but we obviously filmed another podcast with him. Met Justin multiple times, met John Rahm at the Masters this year, have interviewed Rory McIlroy. Like, there's actually quite a lot of guys there who I've actually been fortunate enough over the years of doing YouTube I've managed to meet. On the USA side, I mean, there's still some real favourites for me. Obviously, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah. In terms of favourites that you like, or...
He's just a person I love. Yeah. You know, he's such a nice guy. I love Max Homa. I've met him a few times. He's been
nice
great
guy.
With me. I've met Justin briefly, but Jordan and Justin, I love both of them too. Scottie Scheffler, I've grown more fond of.
I like Scottie Scheffler.
I'm still not quite fully there with you. Obviously, me and Brooks have loads of beef, so me and Brooks can't be best friends, I'm afraid. And he's made that very clear in many regards. So that's going to be a bit awkward in the Ryder Cup after I've had a few azaleas and a few sherbets. So hopefully, you know, there's no disgruntled me versus
Brooks.
Me versus Brooks that gets a bit messy, do you know what I mean? I've met Sam Burns a few times, dead nice guy. Don't really know. I've never met Patrick Cantlay. I don't like him, but he's not someone I'm dead fond of.
Mm-hmm.
Wyndham Clark, I feel like, even though he's won a major this year, I still don't feel like I know a lot about him at all, really. Brian Harman, again, not, you know, obviously won the Open, but I don't feel like I've got any connections with Brian. Colin Morikawa, really like, and Xander Schauffele. So I think it's somewhat mixed, but certainly from as you've mentioned a minute ago, I think a lot more of my favourite players are on the European team.
I would agree, and I do sometimes jest about the Ryder Cup, but truthfully, this year I am really, really excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. As I said, you're going.
I know, and I think that is definitely helping my excitement for it. We went to Marco Simone about four weeks ago, and we filmed there, and the golf course is spectacular. Those videos are actually going to start to be dropping very soon.
We had a match. We had a break 75 that turned into a match play.
We sacked off the stroke play, because it's not a stroke play
it's
course.
It's not a stroke play course. We weren't playing particularly great stroke play wise.
Even Dave Sampson said that. He said, you can't play stroke play.
It's not a stroke play course.
It's all about match play. So
we put our money where our mouth is and went straight up, head to head. While a winner was decided, we won't name who. We're going to, maybe it was me, maybe it was Rick. Who was it, Rick?
Wait to find out on Friday. Is it Friday this week?
Friday this week. And then on the following Wednesday, we did a scramble. So we became a team. We put our rivalries because to one side.
Because the golf course is too bloody hard to play on your own.
And what a golf course, though, genuinely.
I think you're going to get two real good opportunities to learn about the golf course ahead of the Ryder Cup, which I genuinely think as fans and viewers and listeners and who follow the channel, I think you're going to enjoy the Ryder Cup more after watching the videos because you're going to know the holes much more thoroughly. Yeah, and then I wasn't planning on going, to be truthful with you. I wasn't really kind of umming and ahhing. I wasn't quite sure. I've done a bit of travelling this year, but, you know, I've been very fortunate this year. I've been to the Masters, the Open, and then, like, an opportunity has now arisen for me to go to the Ryder Cup, and I've snatched it with both hands.
First reserves, you got to go.
First reserve. Yeah, because obviously Luke's seen my game recently. I've also played golf with Luke Donald. How about that?
Nice.
You know, I feel like my game's really trending at the moment. So,
well, let's just imagine that Bob McIntyre, should I say, has one too many pizzas in Rome.
Yeah,
falls over, rolls his ankle. Can't play.
Easy. A bit of red wine, a bit of pizza. It could happen.
You could even use his club. Play lefty
on those cobbly streets.
Correct.
Honestly, I think I should be there. I'm surprised. I keep checking my phone.
It's funny what can happen to people when they break 80. So they just go so ahead. But just on that though, kind of slight little segue, but the reason you are quite excited about your golf game is this last week, obviously we had an amazing collaboration week with Grant Horvat, the best teeth in the game, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
One of the best golf swings in the game.
There was a lot of teeth on display last podcast.
Yes, there was.
Even people listening could tell there was a lot of teeth.
It was like three horse in here, horses.
And only in the teeth department. Yeah. Nothing else.
Nice.
Nothing else.
And also, on top of that, what an amazing guy he is. He's a really, really nice guy. I love spending time with Grant. You played last week, though, with him in parts. Some of the best golf I've seen you play, certainly from the tee.
There's spells at the moment. Mm. It's not perfect, but I am seeing light at the end of the tunnel. I think it's no surprise to anybody listening, watching, that my game has not been good this year. I've been really upset with my game this year, but I've got no right to be upset because I don't practice. I've not really worked hard on my game. I've not really done anything that deserves any great level of golf. But before the week with Grant, I actually went out for just a little 10-hole practice with your friend of mine, James Robinson.
Yes.
Friend of the channel, who also featured in the Grant week, because we actually had a little cheeky match where Grant took on James Robinson.
That was a great match play.
Ex-tour professional, played in the Open. We thought it'd be a good head-to-head.
And another one.
And we did a you and Grant versus me and James, yes, which is also really good. I think you might have hit one of the best shots you've ever hit.
Yes.
On a finishing hole.
Yes.
We won't spoil that. But I actually went out with James just a little. I'd not played golf for a week or so before playing with Grant. And we went out, just brush off the cobwebs. And he kind of just, observations that I've known about my golf swing for a long time, he kind of just started to probe the questions and start to ask, you know, why do you open the face a little bit in the backswing? And why do you get a little bit cuppy? And anyway, he gave me a little improv lesson. And I wasn't going to trust it, not because I don't trust James, but because any swing change, and I'm sure everybody listening, watching can associate to this, any swing change takes a little bit of time to bed in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not always an instant fix. And for something that felt so bizarre for me, closing my face more in the backswing, I wasn't fully trusting being able to take it out on the golf course. And I expressed these concerns to James, and he said, are you playing well at the moment? I said, no, I'm playing awful. He said, well, what does it matter?
Good point.
He said, well, what does it matter? Why don't you just make these changes? And so what? If you're already going to play awful, you might as well try something new and play, hopefully not as awful.
You know what I thought the other day on this? Right, you know when you've not played golf for, let's say, a month or 2 months or whatever, and you go back and your swing feels a bit weird because obviously you've not played for very long, you know, not played much. Say somebody, this would be maybe a silly example, but say someone's playing bad golf, right? They're just hitting it rubbish, not enjoying it. Would you ever recommend having like a month or two off, firstly for your headspace, just to get out of the world of golf, enjoy doing other things, come back and almost before you hit a ball, actually have a lesson so that you can almost change your swing while it feels weird anyway?
Not a terrible idea. Not a terrible idea at all, because sometimes when you're in that kind of weird position where you've just come back out of golf for a while, everything feels a bit different anyway.
Exactly.
So your swing's a bit more jellified. Mm. So you can kind of make changes. you know, there's sometimes when I was obviously still coaching full time where I'd get just that situation where it's like, oh, I've just been all day, Rick. I've not practiced for 2 weeks. And sometimes my eyes lit up. I'm like, brilliant.
Yeah.
Because you're in that stage.
You've got jelly arms.
You're in that jelly arm stage where I can manipulate and mold you. But yeah, no, there was definitely, I'm not saying it's perfect yet, but there was definitely light at the end of the tunnel. I hit my driver so much better. I hit some of the sweetest irons and wedges I've ever hit.
Mm-hmm.
Weirdly, my week started like I was one of the best putters in the world.
Yeah.
And as the week carried on, I got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse my putting.
Mm.
Just to give everyone a bit of a heads up, and this is why we love the podcast and why we do the podcast, not only to be able to interview some of the best players in the world or cool YouTube personalities or talk about the Ryder Cup or whatever it may be, it's also a time just to share a bit of behind the scenes of the YouTube world. The videos that you'll see come out on the channel of mine and Grant's over the next week or so, 2 weeks, etc., aren't always in the order they got shot.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually kind of, sometimes you might jumble up the order. One video might suit being first. So this particular video that Grant released last night, which if you've not checked it out, go and check it out. It's 18 holes, me versus Grant stroke play. That was filmed kind of like on day two, the afternoon of day three, I think it was.
Yes.
So it's like, it's all a bit out of sync. So you might see sometimes I'm playing better. And also, I think a lot of people, certainly if you're technically eagle-eyed, I think you'll notice quite a lot of swing changes between the videos that come out with Grant and even the videos I'm going to film and come out ahead of the Ryder Cup videos. My swing's changed quite a lot since those 2 points as well.
Yeah, but I think as well what was bizarre is, I don't know what order this was in, but there was a day where your driver was literally almost boring. You were hitting it so straight and every tee, even Grant was like, what's going on? And then the next day, it wasn't...
It's a bit of trust there.
It's trust, but that's just golf. I know we say this a lot, but like that is just golf in a nutshell. And I did a similar thing because I played in a couple of these videos and one day I was hitting some good shots, next day I was hitting different, like maybe I was driving it well, next day not so much, putting well or whatever it might be. And even again, we've said this before, when you look at even tour pros and Ludvig Åberg's a great example. Let me just get his scores up for him, thingy. He obviously had, I mean, obviously other things can account for this, whether it be...
Well, it's just pressure situation.
Or, but he, let me try and get the scoreboard up, and it took me ages to do it now.
I think he had mid-60s.
Yeah, and then he obviously had a bad last round. What did he do? So he came tied 10th, which still isn't a bad finish for a rookie.
By the way, while you're pulling that information up, Ryan Fox's final round was absolute insane.
Did he have a treble?
He had a triple on the third or fourth.
Ridiculous.
And then from that point, shot 8 under.
So Ludvig, he went 68, 66, 66, 76. So there was obviously a 10-shot swing from his Saturday to Sunday. And that's kind of at that level as well. You think, well, no wonder, you know, if these guys who are practicing so much have the best golf swings in the world, have the best coaches, best facilities, they can go from one day to the next shooting 10-shot difference. What can we do as just amateurs? You know, I might shoot 80 one day and then 89 the next, or 72 the next, or whatever it might be. It must be that the golf must be the game that can vary the most from day to day, even for a professional athlete.
Correct, 100%. I'm also thinking, how many times do you think a winner of a big tour event? I mean, this is European or DP World Tour's flagship event. It really is. How many players have actually had a triple bogey and still gone on to win? I bet there's not many.
No.
I bet the odds after he made triple bogey were just ridiculous. And he came back and just absolutely set the back nine alight. Also, big shout out to Aaron Rye.
Yes.
Did you see his eagle, or close eagle putt?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought he'd hold it. I was watching it. I was like, oh my God, this looks so good. Also, again, obviously this is a big DP World Tour event. The European team did really good.
Yep.
Every one of them made the cut. Mm-hmm. Every one of them was performing really well, from John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy, Åberg, all on the front page of the leaderboard.
Good to see. Promising signs.
So at the moment, the game's not quite there. But again, give me 2 years or 4 years at Ryder Cup.
Go with 4.
Yeah, I'll go 4 years.
Another thing I'd want to give a shout out to, so this week again with Grant, I've got some great content coming and there's loads on Grant's channel as well. I would like to give a shout out firstly to the Belfry as a resort and as a golf course. It is up there for me. I just love how it's so central in England. It's easy for people to get to. The chicken tenders are phenomenal.
Well, you had them six times.
So yeah, I'm a big chicken tenders fan with buffalo sauce. But not only that, there's three golf courses. We obviously used two of them, the PJ and the Brabazon. The Brabazon in particular, and we had this little chat, is one of my favourite golf courses. It's such a fun course to play. There's so many holes. There's a couple of not so great holes, but there's probably 15 holes or so that you're actually looking for. You're on one hole looking forward to the next hole. I just really enjoyed it. So shout out to them. And also shout out, as always, to Wallasey. We did some filming at Wallasey Golf Club. And it was just, as always, immaculate. And it was the first time Grant had ever been on a links course, and his jaw just hit the floor.
It was a nice one to take him to. Honestly, the condition of the golf course there, John, the head greenkeeper, he's done such an amazing job. He's absolutely killed it. And Gareth, the GM, and just every bit of it, every bit of it, superb. We also, you didn't come with me on this shoot, but for a video we did on Grant's channel, we actually went over to Royal Liverpool, the home of this year's Open Championship. It looks so bloody different.
Without all the grandstands.
It's mad.
So it looks smaller, I take it. Or does it look bigger because there's more land?
It looks bigger. It looks a lot bigger than normal.
Really?
Because you remember what was in those positions.
Right.
Like, it's madness. It's madness. I didn't play in that video. It's a video that Grant does. It's called The Cut. So I was kind of caddying slash giving him some advice. I hit a couple of shots. I actually birdied 17 again.
Nice.
I had a kick in. It was about this far away.
You love that hole.
I do love that hole. But yeah, it was, when you think about, and this is what's always crazy about these golf courses, and we'll see it at Marco Simone. We went there a few weeks ago, infrastructure up, everything else. As soon as the Ryder Cup's gone, a few weeks later,
gone.
It's just like the circus has come to town and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Just like the Open, like it felt like that in that week in July, Royal Liverpool, Hoylake, was the epicentre of the world of golf.
Yeah.
Everybody is there. Mm. And then last week, me and Grant went the very last tee time, we got round in like 2.5 hours because it was going dark. And it's like, how is this the same place?
You know what? I think that is one of the reasons why I love St. Andrews so much because, and it sounds bizarre, when you go to the Open at, say, Royal Liverpool, and then you go a few weeks later or a month later, whatever it might be, a couple of months later, and everything's gone.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't know why. I feel quite sad about it. They're like, oh, that's over now. But obviously, St. Andrews tomorrow or today is nothing like it would be when the Open's there. But it's a bit close. There's still golfers everywhere. There's people walking around the town with golf clubs, there's golf shops. And I feel like you get that little bit of energy, that golfer's buzz. And I don't know. I think Another thing as well, just kind of on a, again, a little segue though, is the difference with an old course or Royal Liverpool with the infrastructure is those golf courses were there long before all this, we would have ever thought or dreamt that golf events would be so big. Whereas something we'll come on to next week with, Dave, sorry, is that the whole golf course was built with the Ryder Cup in mind, and all the infrastructure is, I'd say, dwarfs that of the Open.
The one thing I can't fathom now is when I go to, like, say, Royal Liverpool, when all the grandstands were shut, not there. But why was that land left like that? Like, there's huge expanses of land. And I'm not just talking about the driving range, which obviously becomes the Tented Village.
On the side of three?
Side of three.
Yeah.
Massive, massive infrastructure, like, on the left side of three. And then, you know, when the really big three-tier hospitality thing was, by the side of 16th Green?
Yeah.
You look at that now and go, why was that land?
Yeah, why
ever,
is that, I mean, yeah.
Why was it just left like that? Or, you know, the par four kind of dogleg about the 14th, one that's quite a tricky green. On the right of that, so much land.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It is weird, I suppose, as well, though. There's that many good open venues that didn't have that land, like a Prestwick, that now can't host it because they haven't got it. So it's just probably...
Even like a Royal Lytham. Like, Royal Lytham is an amazing golf course. I'm a huge fan of it. But there's rumours now about trying to get the Open again, but it's just not got the infrastructure. It's not got the space. And somewhere like that, it's surrounded by houses and a railway. You can't just make space.
Yeah,
like,
I agree. I think this year, obviously, again, we said about the Ryder Cup, we're more excited for it for a number of reasons. I can't make this one anyway, but this is the one I do feel like people that are going, I'm kind of jealous of. And I do think that, because hopefully, obviously, a lot of Europeans and people listening to this podcast will go over, and Americans. I think it's going to be one that people are going to love.
I just can't understand it being full.
What, of people?
Yeah, it will be, but I almost can't imagine it.
Suppose you've got Americans, clearly, are going to go over. You've then got Europeans, it's such a short flight. I wonder how many actual Italians, even if they're loose interest in golf or no interest in golf, would go. Is it the third biggest sporting event in the world? But I think we got told that by Dave. You've got the
Olympics,
World Cup.
World Cup, and then the Ryder Cup.
Wow. So if that's on your, if that's within an hour and a half of your house in Italy, would you take the kids and go, look, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We've got cheap tickets. I don't know if there's cheap tickets for residents or not, but it's going to be good. I actually genuinely, I'm really excited for it.
Do you think this year has been a good year for golf?
In what sense? Just generically, generally.
Has golf even reached out to more non-golfers this year than ever before?
I'm going to go yes. I think Netflix was very good, very big for golf. I think it certainly got more potentially, well, I've not got any stats to hand. I'm guessing with it on Netflix.
You've never got stats to hand with it.
No, sadly not.
Just checks.
Not my hand. Oh, yeah. No, but you've got to think that the Netflix show has had a positive impact on the game, whether it be casuals or wives or partners, husbands of golfers, whatever it might be, might have taken a bit more interest in the game. That's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the Liv chatter from Liv in general, and then obviously the forming of the PGA Tour and the PIF and all that stuff, although it might be bad as a golfer, it gets golf in the headlines more. Is that a good thing, potentially? Yeah,
I'm just very intrigued this year. I mean, it's like, obviously Tiger now is not the big pull, or, you know, he played in the Masters, that's it, this year, and then pulled out because of injury. You know, is golf still in a safe enough place for it to continue to grow? And is it still reaching the non-golfers, the audience? I kind of feel like it is, but like I said, I've got no stats to
hand. I think on Tiger personally, I've said this before, but like we're big, huge Tiger fans. That's obvious. We know, everyone knows that. I've not personally missed him in these majors as much as I thought he would. Like, yes, if someone said to me, I've got a crystal ball. Is that what you call a crystal ball, where you can see the future?
Oh, yeah, they're popular,
No, but is that what they're called? Crystal ball? Is that wrong?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's crystal ball.
Yeah, my head just went then. Someone said I've got a crystal ball.
Crystal maze or...
No, crystal. And I was going to say something else then. Crystal meth. Might be. I watched Inside the World's Worst Prisons yesterday, and that was about crystal meth.
Wow.
Anyway, no, and someone said, yeah, I've got crystal ball, and I can see that next year Tiger is going to be playing in a major or three majors or four of the majors. I would be delighted, right? I really would. But I'm not, when I watched the Open this year, and honest to God, never once thought I'm missing Tiger, because there's so many more narratives now. Obviously, with you've got the kind of rivalry, well, not rivalry, you've got the battle between John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Rory. You've got this young blood, you've got your Victor Hovland, you've got the Ludwigs now coming through.
Weirdly got like your Ricky Fowler and your Jason Day back. Exactly. Who are playing great.
And then on the other side, so that I don't think personally I'm missing Tiger, but you are right. The influx of Tiger in the mid to late 90s to 2000s was massive for golf. I'm not for one second comparing what I'm going to say now to Tiger and what he did. But another thing we're seeing a lot more now is obviously with the influx of YouTube golf creators, YouTube golf TikTok people, etc. Would I personally believe, again, we are seeing golf transcend that younger audience. Richard's the new Tiger. Is that what you think of the podcast title?
No, this makes sense. This actually makes a lot of sense, because I've got a bit of beef with Tiger.
Leave it with me. I'm coming on to that in a sec.
But I'm saying this might be why he's trying to throw shots over the barrel.
Possibly.
Maybe,
possibly.
Maybe he's getting worried. There's a magazine back there, okay?
With the most influential people in golf. What number were you?
Wasn't number one.
Okay, who was number one?
Tiger.
Ah.
And I think he's got issues with it.
You're coming for Tiger?
I think he wants it.
The beer mat's gone.
I think he wants a bit, ironically, a Masters beer mat. I don't think he wants this smoke, and therefore he's throwing shots across the barrel, because in a exhibition warm-up-y thing that he was doing, someone said, what's your advice to amateur golfers?
Yeah, and what did he say? Quote unquote, don't watch effing YouTube.
It hurts me. He actually said, don't watch effing YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Except real Rick Shields. He actually said that. Don't you? If listen to this clip really carefully. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Did you hear that then?
Third deuce. I had Tiger all wrong. I thought he was a Rick Shields hater. He's actually a lover.
Yeah. And just go out and beat balls.
Yeah. So for those who haven't seen this, I'm sure you have, but Tiger Woods has come out and said his advice would be don't watch effing YouTube or whatever.
Apart from Rick Shields.
Yeah. Now, I kind of understand to some degree where he's coming from.
Sorry.
No, let me get you. No, let me, this is a bigger point. I think what he is meaning is, like anything in life, people are often searching for the shortcut. We all are. So, for example, if we go on a diet and we want to start working out, rather than actually really putting in the effort and eating well for 2 years or whatever it might be and working out day in, day out, we go onto YouTube, we type in fat loss in 2 days. That's the nature of the world we live in.
I search, is there diet chips?
Yes, correct. How do I lose weight eating McDonald's?
Yeah.
And I suppose what Tiger's meaning is that most people who play golf, not everybody, but most want to get better at the game, because that typically makes you enjoy it more. Not always, but typically. So he's probably saying that rather than going onto YouTube and watching how to get better at golf, that's only going to be a magic wand, you have to hit balls. And he's got truth in that. You will also, say if someone watches your coaching videos, you have to go and practice it. I think the short-sightedness, though, what people have been kind of jumping on and joking is that how many people, and we know, we see the stats in this, literally, watch a golf coaching video because they've never, ever, ever even held a golf club. They might be going on a first date to a driving range. They might be going on a works do with golf. They might even be going and play mini golf and never putted before. Silly example, but true. They watch your video, they watch somebody else's video. Next thing they go and actually quite enjoy it. They go to the driving range again and again. Then they actually book in a lesson with a pro, or they buy some clubs, and then they become a Tiger Woods fan or a Victor Hovland fan. So I think for a lot of people, YouTube is that gateway. And I think by people not realising that, it is very, very short-sighted.
Yeah. And obviously he wants to remain as number one most influential person in the world.
Correct. And his son probably spends too much time watching your videos. So.
Possibly. So yeah, a little beef, Tiger.
Oh no, not this. This is one you won't win. Even I'm on Tiger's side.
If you want this smoke, 10-shot challenge medalist, you set the time, I'll be there.
If Tiger said no, I don't want to play you, but I want to have a celebrity boxing match with you once his legs are a bit better, how many rounds do you live with Tiger? How many rounds of boxing, 3-minute rounds, could you handle?
I'm quite fast. I can probably run away from him for a while.
Yeah. I reckon you get into the second round.
Yeah, no, I'd take that.
Running around, burn him out for the first one, then he's absolutely leather shit with a big haymaker.
Let's not think about Tiger fighting me, because that's not a vision I
think there's more chance of Tiger fighting you than a 10-shot challenge. True or false?
False.
Prove me wrong.
I will prove you wrong. Tiger, you and me, 10-shot challenge.
If that ever, ever, ever happens, I would love the picture on Instagram to be you and Tiger squaring up, fists up. Imagine that. I'd break the internet. I love Tiger. I do miss him.
Is that basically what we're getting to all this? I think the other thing is if he ever said, all right, Rick, do a 10-shot challenge. If I win, you delete your YouTube channel.
But can you put the video on first?
I was going to say, yeah.
Let's try and milk it. Imagine that. You play him. You actually get the collab. You play with him. You lose. And you can't ever show the video. You just have to watch it at home on your own.
And then, like, be that crazy person in the corner that used to be on YouTube and, like, on a rocking chair and going, I did play Tiger. I did play Tiger.
Bogey the last lost.
Oh, I see the future. That's your crystal ball moment there, guy.
That is my crystal ball.
That is right it there.
Random one then. I've got a question off Josh Green in the Facebook group, and it's very, very random, but I'm going to ask it. Obviously, he says there is a copyright issue with music in your videos, so we don't get to hear your music tastes. But what are yours and Rick's favourite musicians? And if you had to pick a favourite song to walk out to, what would it be? So picture the scene, Rick. You do make the Ryder Cup in 4 years' time. They've also implemented a new rule where you walk on to your absolute walk-on song, like a boxer, like a darts player. What are you walking on to, and what music do you like in general?
I play it for you.
This is going to get monetized. We can't, because it'll get monetized.
Yeah, a little bit. And I think the artist will be fine with it. He's a personal close friend of mine. Find it.
Matt, will this get demonetized?
No, it won't. Don't worry about it. What the hell's the song? Got it.
Go on, quick.
Got it, don't worry.
In answer to the question, I like rap music.
Ready? This is what I'd walk out to.
Right, that's enough. Good morning. I think that's 10 seconds.
Good morning.
Wow.
It's a remix. I like pop rap.
Rap, yeah.
I like squeaky clean, not too many F-bombs. Mm-hmm. I can listen to it in the car with the kids and they're not going to be getting all gangster on me.
Yeah.
But I also really like pop music.
Yeah.
Like just love pop music, love dance music. I wouldn't say I've got an artist that I'd...
No, I'm not really a big artist
guy. I went
to
Bongo Bingo against Saturday Night.
You did indeed.
And Craig David performed.
Legend.
I mean, that was ridiculous.
Got a lot of good songs.
Well, he can sing.
Yes.
He can rap. He can mix. He can DJ.
He can probably dance.
This is what my wife told me, so I don't really remember much of it. But that's what he can do. So
that's what he can do.
I think like someone like who's multi-talented. I know this would probably get some flack. I do actually like Kanye West. Certainly his old stuff.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with some of his music output.
I mean, my taste in music maybe isn't great. So it's like Will Smith.
Wow.
The Will Smith, Kanye West, trying to think who else I really like. There's loads. I like anything dance. David Guetta. I love David Guetta. Or Guetta. Guetta.
Yeah. You.
I like the new Doja Cat song.
Wow. Don't know it.
Yeah. Quite cool. So.
Okay, boomer. On that though, there's also obviously there's some very exciting videos coming and have been on the Hit channel. So if you're one of those golfers like a lot of us who love golf equipment and you want to watch more golf reviews, if you didn't know, which I'm sure you should have known, but if you didn't know, Rick has another new channel, Hit Golf Reviews.
I've not got another one.
New channel every bloody week. Can't keep up. He's got Facebook. He's got Instagram. He's got Toxic. I'm going to on Snapchat. It's WhatsApp. It's Telegram. Email, post, PO box. I've got it. You name it, we've got it. So Rick's another new channel. His third channel.
The same channel that we've had for like quite a long time now.
Yeah, this could be someone's first ever listening to this podcast. So Rick has a third channel. He's got three YouTube channels. Rick Shields Main, Rick Shields Podcast, Rick Shields Reviews, blah, blah, blah. Hit Golf, boring, blah, blah. There's been some very, very exciting club reviews on there. One of the big ones that really excited me, because again, a bit more nerdy, was Adams Golf are back in a big way. And the kind of different target market now, they're going a little bit more for the kind of younger golfer, maybe a bit more of a young professional who wants to kind of buy a bit of a package set, get it all in one, but wants quality, doesn't want to spend a stupid amount of money. We've got more videos of that stuff coming, but the first one we have released was the new putters. Mm. They have actually bought and utilized the C-Groove technology that lots of people will know from the old Yes putters. Yes Putters were absolutely amazing and so popular in the mid-2000s, 05, 06, 07, etc. The back?
The back with a bang. They were nice, really nice. I tested it against the Yes Putter as well, and the roll off the face was very, very similar. However, there is a product from Adams that I have tested. I don't think the video isn't out just yet, that genuinely was like, whoa,
yeah,
what the hell? Where's this come from? So that video will be coming out soon. We also did a really cool video where I tested two drivers from Ping that were 25 years old. 25 years in gap. There's 25 years gap between the two drivers. That's what I was trying to say. From 1998, a Ping TISI titanium driver. I remember when it first came out, I'd only really just started playing golf in that year or the year just before. And then the latest Ping G430, what are we up to now? G430
LS Tech.
Yeah. I always think it's 35 for some reason. G435. That's next year's driver. The Ping G430 LS Tech. And the yardages, I'm sure many people aren't going to be totally surprised that the yardages were different, but go and check out the video to find out actually how many yards were different. It was probably about right.
It was about right, and it just, again, we won't give it too much away, but we all know that year to year, there's not much change, whether it be in a golf driver or it might be in an iPhone, for example, another example, or even a car, you know, year on year, it's not great. But if you do skip a few generations or a number of generations, you do certainly see that there is a difference. And I suppose on that, we kind of know now that to some degree, golf clubs, drivers have hit some level of limit in terms of how fast they can be, etc. But I would very much imagine in the next 20 years or 15 years or 10 years, drivers then will be outperforming today's ones. So there is still innovation to be had, I guess, is what I'm saying. But yeah, that's an exciting video. So keep your eye on Hit Golf. Make sure you go and subscribe. Loads of videos coming soon. On that, though, we have both also got a new 3-iron in the bag. You have got what I can only really describe as a magic wand.
It is. How do you think it is a magic wand?
It's bulky. It's not the best looker.
Listen, not many witches are.
No. Ah, nice. Like that. Your broomstick.
But what it can do with that broomstick.
You want it high?
What I can do.
What, you want to hit it? Can you hit high?
Can I?
Low?
Easy.
Medium?
Next.
Yeah.
Question.
Off a tee, off the rough, off the fairway. Remind me the model name.
U505.
Something like that. It's the new Taylor. The title is Chunky.
U505.
It's
I kind of didn't want to put it in the bag. Didn't want to.
Nope.
Okay. Didn't. An ugly duckling. But honestly,
It is working.
The best ugly duckling I've ever had.
How many ducks have you had? I would say, because I'm similar, but I just got a new 3-iron. I've got the Titleist T200, the new one. For me, and I think you're in a similar position, Rick. I think probably a lot of people are. I've swapped putter recently a bit, but I keep going back to my spider. Love my wedges. Got the new irons, fine. I can use any irons, really. Love my driver, love my
anything.
No, you know what I mean. I'm not too fussy to a degree. Driver 3-wood, great. That kind of gap between my 4-iron and my 3-wood, I find it so hard to fill. I've tried 7-wood, I've tried 2-irons. With always some success.
You kind of need two clubs in that gap.
I think you do.
That's what I'm becoming the realisation of, and I'm actually going to start kind of monitoring a bit of stats in my game a little bit. Nothing too nerdy, but just kind of measuring a few stats and just see where maybe I could take a wedge out of the bag and put an extra club in. Because I wouldn't mind a 5-wood.
Yeah.
Never a club I've had.
No.
Ever.
And the guy, actually, have to be fair.
I've always had driver 3-wood, then long iron, whether it's 2-iron. I've had a hybrids mixture. Or I could even put a 2-iron in that same club, in the U505.
The only way I think you make that work then, and I've toyed this myself, because I have a pitching wedge, it's part of the set, and then I have 50, 54, 58. Do you go 52, 58? So you've got 46, which in my case, which is your wedge.
Like James Robinson
yeah.
does 52, 58.
Because surely the 52 gets you that gappiness. You can open it a bit for your more 54-y kind of shot, and then your 58's there anyway.
Yeah, because I very much, when I, unless I'm hitting like a full shot, I think I'd have to get better at being able to control a 52's distance.
Mm.
I'd need to be able to hit a 52 90 yards
yeah.
or 100 yards. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Where at the moment, my 100 yards is bang on my 56 degree. Pretty much I'm pretty confident with that. if I went 52 and 56, I think I'd have to just be better at my distance control to be able to allow for that extra gap than to go longer in the clubs.
No, I agree. And then the last little bit.
But then the other thing, sorry, last one. I don't actually know how much I'd use it though.
The 5-wood.
Just say for argument's sake, right? You're 230 yards away from the green.
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically that's going to be a par 5.
Mm-hmm.
Really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or a long par 3.
Crazy par. Yeah, or it won't be a par 4, would it? Unless it's a ridiculous golf course.
Bad tee shot.
Yeah.
Like, am I happy ripping that 3-iron and being 10 yards short? Probably.
Mm. But would you rather hit the 5 would it be on the green? If there's space there, it depends. I don't know. It's a club. It's a part of the golf bag I really struggle with. I think there's almost too many options. Like we said, there's 7-woods, there's 9-woods, there's hybrids, there's 2-irons, there's these kind of what you've got. It's like almost a utility chunky iron. It's hard.
The other option is I might put a bit more loft in my 3-wood.
Yeah.
The only time I ever hit my 3-wood off the tee definitely isn't for distance, obviously. It's just to put it in play. So if I was 10 yards shorter, but in play with my 4-wood, fine with that. And if I was going into a par five, as long as I can still muscle it 240, 245, I can then knock it down to 230.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
last thing as well, which we will also be reviewing soon. I'm not quite sure when, but on the channel, there's new TaylorMade putters come out, the new Spider putters. They're not going to be really reinventing the wheel. I think the Spider franchise has really helped TaylorMade become a legitimate putter brand. They've tried and dipped the toe into lots of things, and to be honest with you, they've failed in a lot, I would say.
What I'm sorry was that?
The Spiders.
Oh, yeah.
But TaylorMade, I don't think have really, other than the Spider range, they've not always been held in a high regard as a putter brand. They've recently brought out the TP Reserve, which you did review, which were kind of a Scotty Cameron competitor. Not really
Scotty Cameron.
They've had other bits and bobs, but I think the Spider range is the first time really that I think for me, the key to success for a brand is when somebody asks you what you've got, you can actually say the model as opposed to the brand. So for example, Pro V1, Vokey,
Spider,
that's where Ping have really struggled. You know, Ping and the putters were so good for so long, so popular, but it's like, what would you, they don't really,
430.
I mean in the putters.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You wouldn't really. And I think that's where TaylorMade, like, and with Spider, they've actually built this own franchise. So I'm interested to see what they like, see what you
even,
think of
even
them.
Even like Odyssey, just say White Hot.
Or Two Ball or White Hot or whatever it might be. I think TaylorMade, bar the Spider, have struggled a bit. But so new Spiders must be, they look very forgiving, look kind of as what you'd expect. Good putters, obviously had a lot of success on tour. So we'll be reviewing those at some point, see what you think.
I feel like I need a putter change. I'm very, very hot and cold with that putter at the moment. Sometimes I'm honestly thinking I can't miss. Like Royal Liverpool, when I chopped it round but putted like God. And then the other day when I played, I hit it brilliantly and putted like never bloody held a putter in my life.
Maybe it's a brief romance or something else. Have your head turned a little bit?
Just a little flirt. A little holiday romance.
Maybe 9 holes here and there. And then you go back to your own and go, nice to be back. I missed you. Kiss and make up. I've done that many a time with putters, that is. For those people, before we wrap this up, I would love to make a little, I'd like to beg, potentially, is what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
I would love to beg those people who are listening to the podcast, certainly on Apple in particular, but any platform, please give us a 5-star review. We've not had any reviews for a while, and it's nice to see that little bit of support. You know, we work hard here, this hour of our day.
Because otherwise, it just feels like we're talking to each other in a room.
This is what we are doing, really.
But like, yeah. Need feedback.
So we'd love some reviews, 4 or 5 star, preferably 5 star. If you think it doesn't deserve a 4 or 5 star, then don't review it.
And don't listen.
Yeah, turn off now.
Go away.
Right, they've gone now. The whoppers have gone. The old idiots, just us and the cool people. And those gimps have gone. you can say gimps, I think. It's at the end of the podcast anyway, it's irrelevant. It's only the so that's that. Next week's is pre-recorded, but we're going to do an intro to it next week. We didn't want to just leave that podcast because God forbid.
I think you're right to say it.
Well, oh yeah, God forbid if Rory fell over and broke his ankle tomorrow, or Bob McIntyre did indeed fall over after too many pizzas. It would seem strange not to reference that in the podcast that we're going to do. So we'll do a little bookend.
I actually think we'd be investigated though if Rob McIntyre fell over eating a pizza.
Yeah, I'd also think.
I actually think the.
What, I think it'd be a pineapple pizza as well.
Gosset is his legend. That's why I feel like if that happens, we would definitely be investigated.
Yeah.
Into like, you know, malicious.
Or being psychic, having a crystal ball.
And I've already
I predict.
Also, if this was 1,000 years ago, we'd be burnt on the stake.
Well, let's see.
I'm currently saying I've got a magic wand.
Yeah.
I'm a witch.
Yeah.
We're predicting the future.
I bet I could predict who won out of yours and Grant's match that you played for our channel. I also bet I could predict who won out of me and you at Marco Simone.
I bet a lot of people could predict who won versus me and Grant, but enough said. I've said enough already. Guys, stay tuned. Lots more to come. We shall see you next week.
Oh, Ali G.
Like a gangster. Oh.
That's too much Kanye West.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.